Welcome to the Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show, presented by Hugh Hattrick in association with its Orlando Time Facebook page, trusted, acknowledged, and respected. Welcome to the Orlando Holiday Guide with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my very special guest, Flavio. Hello, Flavio. Welcome to the show. It's all about the Orlando area and exactly what you do. So how are you today and how did you get started on being an expert in all things Orlando?
All right. Thank you for having me on the show, Hugh. I grew up here in Orlando. And when you grow up, especially about my age, I'm roughly about 50 years old, getting close to it. And I'm about the same age as Disney World, being here in Orlando, basically.
Yeah,
so I've got to see it grow from, you know, not much of a town to what it is today. So I've got to see each attraction come up. There's been some attractions that are older than I am here, like Gatorland or St. Augustine Alligator Farm and some of the other Central Florida attractions out there. Some have come and gone. And I've always been interested in history of the attractions. I do consulting with attractions. My career has been working in the attraction industry. I worked at Gatorland for almost 20 years, which is an alligator and crocodile park here in Orlando. So I've been working with crocodiles and alligators for about 30 years.
Wow.
And so with that being said, that has led me to many travels around the globe. And I know Orlando very well and most of the major cities in the U.S. I started tour guiding back in the mid-90s. And most of it was groups coming to Orlando, and there were school groups. And I also started working with some of the people on iDrive at some of the British pubs and Irish pubs there, and got to know some of the UK folks and Irish and a little bit of everybody from Europe, but mostly people from England, Scotland, Ireland, and Northern Ireland and Wales. Yeah. So getting to know them, you know, you start listening to what they want to do or where they want to go. And they ask me for questions. You know, they're always asking questions. And I go, ask me anything you'd like, and I'll tell you. And so some of them are really easy questions, and some are really tough questions to try to figure out and answer. So years back, about 5 years ago, we started a company called You Name It Tours. And which was a group travel company. It was not for families. So we learned really quickly that a lot of families and just individuals want to do stuff here in Orlando. So we created an offshoot, which is kind of a excursions, which is short for Orlando excursions. And we do just about any type of tour you can imagine for families. We've always been stuck to the beaten off the beaten path sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We have taken people to the big parks. We can guide big parks. I'm just not a big fan. I'm not a crazy fan of crowds, but I can go into crowds. I know how to handle a crowd logistically.
Yeah.
I can, if I could take 200 kids and go through Magic Kingdom in a day and see everybody and bring them back at the end of the night with no one hurt, or go into New York City with a group that big and no one get hurt. So that's what I do. I handle all kinds of things and also educate. So, you know, educate all kinds of things. Like, it's summertime right now. It is July the 18th.
Yeah.
And right now is very cool out where I'm sitting. I'm in the shade. I'm near the water instead of standing in the middle of the sun.
Yeah.
In a plain area. So, you know, things like that. Drink water. Stay in the shade. Pay attention to your surroundings, especially in the heat.
Yeah.
When's the best time to come to Orlando? I know when there's no traffic on the road because I drive the streets all the time. I can go, hey, there's no traffic out here. It's a good time to come to Orlando to avoid all those queues out there.
Mm-hmm.
Also, hotel prices. The other day when you said you saw me do a quick live video at one of the hotels, the Rosen Inn at Point Orlando, if I have an extra 15 minutes and I'm somewhere that people have asked me about or I know that they would be interested in, I'll do a quick live video. And it's for education, so you can see what to expect. You know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You can see people there, other people. It sparks a conversation, and a lot of people can share their information, and that's part of the whole game, too,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're taking 2 years to save for a holiday. I mean, we've all done that, where you You plan it. You can plan it to a T, but it doesn't always go to plan. But the more information you can have, then you can alter your plans before you get there. So it's nice and smooth when you arrive and continue to stay. So that's what I enjoy doing, and taking people and sharing that authentic Florida. I really like Florida. I grew up here again. And I would consider moving one day if I can find its equal. But yeah. The only thing nowadays, it's getting busier. Traffic is what bugs me. The weather's terrific. I love the weather. Sunny all the time. I don't mind rain. I don't mind the heat or cold. You learn how to prepare for it, just like any weather out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in Scotland, it's July, and actually, to be fair, it's been quite warm. But we're used to rain and quite cold weather on our inner summers, so we're kind of prepared for anything. So a lot of the time, one of the first times I went out to Florida, it was from Glasgow in 2009. And it was quite funny because most people, they went out, you know, with a kind of, we've got what they call the Glasgow tan, which kind of, you know, you're really white and barely, you know, no color at all. And then you come back as a lobster, you know, you're completely pink and so on, the whole thing. And when you get on the flight a week later to come home and you see all your fellow passengers and you think, yeah, they've been out in the sun far too much. You know, you kind of, it's quite a difference in the temperature and kind of the whole culture, everything about Florida is so different, but it's absolutely wonderful. The first time I went was in 2008, just at the time of the banking crash, the financial crisis. But it was absolutely incredible. I mean, I just fell in love with the place. I love the freedom of it all. You know, you jump in your car and you drive down the I-4 or these roads and just go on straight, you know, for miles and miles, and you just get a sense of the freedom and all these places you can go and visit. You know, it's a wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful place. What do you find, obviously, because you do these tours, what's like your most common question that gets asked? What do you find is the same question that gets asked over and over again?
A lot of times it's just they really want to know the I think the weather is the most important one, and also where to eat. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the group that's coming. So let's say that you're a young couple and have little kids, or if you're an older couple and have teenagers, or if you're just an old couple with no teenagers, where do you go and have some fun and have, you know, maybe have some pints somewhere, where are those fun places? The other one is, you know, everybody likes their sports too, especially from where you guys are from. You know, football is really important to a lot of people.
Yes.
So they want to know where they can watch it. So we try to inform everyone where it is, and we know there's rival teams out there, and there's pubs over here that that fly colors that other people's don't like. But for the most part, it's pretty neutral over here.
Yeah.
So you don't we don't have to bring everything over here to see that. You can still watch a match, and everybody has a good time.
Yeah.
And just for a couple of hours. And a lot of the pubs are really receptive to that too. They'll open up at 7 a.m. because, you know, it's a 5-hour, 6-hour difference sometimes.
Yeah.
They'll open up at 7 a.m. if they're having a match over at noon over in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really good atmosphere.
Yeah. Those are the most common questions that we get on a regular basis. But a lot of people do their homework, and some of the things they're searching for, you know, like today we've got dozens and dozens of questions messaged to us. And a lot of them are just asking, they say, well, how long does it take to get somewhere? Or they'll ask me what the weather's going to be like on June the 23rd of 2021. And I'll go, well, I'll take a good guess, but, you know, I can't tell you exactly what's going to be the weather. But some of the questions are very specific and are hard to answer. But other than that, some people like to walk. Some people want to know how much it costs for transportation. Some people want to drive, and they're asking certain questions about the laws and all that sort of thing. And some people just want to enjoy themselves. I know when I go on holiday, I really don't care to drive if I don't have to. I'll just sit somewhere or take a train. I just went over to Ireland for 10 days, and I didn't drive a lick. I took the train and the planes and boats and everything else.
Yeah, it's quite nice having the freedom to choose as to what you want to do, isn't it, when you're on holiday, so you don't have to drive if you don't need to. I mean, I've got two young children, and I've been over there with my wife and the children a number of times, and for us the car makes the most sense, simply because we'd like to drive normally from a villa or an apartment, you know, in Kissimmee or that kind of area. So it kind of makes sense to have the car so that you can get into Orlando or get to the theme parks and things like that, or drive out to Sarasota or Clearwater and places like that. It always kind of works quite well. But I was on, going back to what you're saying about how the pubs and things open up early. I actually went to watch the Grand Prix a few years ago when I was there, because you don't get Formula One so much over there. And but I managed to find a group of enthusiasts, and they were in a pub in Orlando. And so I went along to watch one of the races there one morning, which was fantastic. It was later in the afternoon. It was great. It was such a good atmosphere. And it was great fun watching it with a whole bunch of fans as well. But what do you think of places like Daytona? Because, I mean, there's races that are held there quite often, I think, as well, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people ask about Daytona. And so I grew up here in Central Florida, and my beach that I hung out at was Cocoa Beach.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like this luxury beach with, you know, pretty white sand or anything like that. But the thing I liked about Cocoa, it's fun. It's a good local beach. It's just a shell sand beach. Yeah. You're allowed to drink on Cocoa Beach. So if you wanted to have beers, you can. You bring your own cooler, hang out. Daytona, you can drive on the beach there. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I just never liked Daytona Beach personally, so I never promoted it. So I figured if you're going to work and have a job, do something you really have fun and where you go like to go. And that's one of the only places I just never decided to go to. But we do take people to Daytona for a few things. They tour the stadium for NASCAR, the Daytona Beach Raceway. Uh-huh. They also go to the beach. And those are the two main things they do in Daytona when I take them. We have a big group going to Daytona next week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're gone for the day. And that's one of the things they want to do is go to see the tour of the Daytona Raceway. And they just want to go to the beach for the day and hang out.
Yeah.
And that's basically about it. So we go, we take them to the raceway in the morning, typically, because it gets pretty hot.
Yeah.
And then he goes over, and then we take him to Daytona. There's plenty of places to eat and relax and cool off if necessary, if it gets too hot.
Hmm.
And it's good to go. But there are certain times you don't want to go to Daytona. And so we let people know those times.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just when you have really big crowds of certain genre people, it could be really rowdy and may not be fun for a family to go, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why we don't choose Daytona all the time. And so we choose some of the other beaches. Usually the number, so in order of beaches we take people to, I would say Clearwater would be number one.
Uh-huh.
Cocoa Beach would be number two, and Sarasota would be number three.
Yeah, yeah.
I just got back from Sarasota about an hour ago. I took some people to Sarasota today.
All right, oh, fantastic.
And, yeah, so we went down there. I love Sarasota. It's one of my favorite places to hang out.
Yeah.
I don't take many people there, but once someone goes to Sarasota, they always return.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So it's pretty cool. And there's a bunch of other really interesting beaches out there that people haven't seen yet. So if people come back and they ask us, they go, well, I've been all over. Where can I go now? And I go, well, let me give you a couple other options. And we take them to some of these other beaches too.
Yeah. We went to Sarasota. It was 3 years ago and absolutely loved it. I'd heard about it on TV. They have a program across here, which is called A Place in the Sun, where they go and buy property in different parts of Florida and all over the world. We always loved watching the one in Florida. And one time they had it in Sarasota. And so they were going around looking at properties in Sarasota, and of course they showed the beach. My wife and I saw that, I said, we have to go and visit Sarasota. It's like, this looks absolutely incredible. So we went there and took our children, and on a lovely hot day, of course, we found out that the sand on Sarasota Beach is nice and cool, and it doesn't heat up like that. So it was absolutely stunning. And the buildings and all that. We went into the harbour and into where all the yachts are, and there was a sign all about the first Scots who landed there.
Yep, I was going to tell you, the Scots were the first to settle Sarasota.
Yeah.
Not the Spanish. The Spanish kept sailing by it all the time.
Yeah.
They never went there. But the Scots own that whole county.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. So we took a picture of the sign and all about it, and I thought maybe that's where I get my feel for the place for, you know, because it's absolutely stunning. It just looks, it's a kind of heavenly place to live. It's absolutely lovely. But I know it's I think that's one of the a lot of people who come from Scotland or even come from Britain to come to Florida. I think they're not kind of aware of just how beautiful the place is. You know, in these beaches, they tend to go for, you know, all the Disney things first of all, because that's what kind of drives it. And then afterwards, they might come back and then see something else. But what would you say to, say, a family who was coming for the first time? You know, maybe things that they may not have thought of that you would suggest would be worth seeing on a first visit.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard to compete with the bigger parks, because a lot of families, the reason they came to Orlando, mm-hmm. most likely is either going to be Universal and definitely the Harry Potter genre there. Yeah. And then you got Disney World, which is ingrained in all like the last three or four generations of human beings on Earth.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're coming to see those things. So the first visit, they should pick one park and focus on it. Mm-hmm. Not try to do everything else. I see a lot of people, you know, you go to these parks and you see families fighting, really? Getting upset. Yeah. And I know that the worst time of year is right about now. It's so hot out, so it's uncomfortable, first of all. Yes. Yeah. You're not used to the heat. So a lot of people get heat rashes, and it really bothers them, and especially when you're at nighttime, the sun just knocks you down. If you're not hydrated properly, you just feel horrible. Yeah. So it makes everybody irritable. So if I was to tell someone on their first visit, don't come in the summertime.
Yeah.
On your first visit, come in a pleasant time of year. Mm-hmm. And when it's not so busy, and take your time in planning that moment. So I always recommend, if you don't want the really extreme heat, come in the first 2 weeks of December. If you do want some heat, come in the first 2 weeks of May. Those 4 weeks there are some of the slowest weeks, besides maybe the third and fourth week of January. But it could be really cold in January, so that's why I never recommend it.
Yeah.
But you can get some really good deals. Flights are reasonable at that time.
Yeah.
And then the queues are just empty. And people are glad to see you, because no one else is miserable either, working in the heat or anything like that. You know? So you can get much more happiness just because of the weather's good. And earlier you asked me what's the most common questions, and a lot of people ask the weather. Well, I'm going to recommend, weather really sets the mood. Here in Florida. And it's just a good time of year. It's after the Halloween Horror Nights. So if you have little kids, really enjoy yourself. The Magic Kingdom is a great place to explore for more than a day. And, you know, it's not really cost effective to buy just one park one day. So if you are getting the 2 week deal, you know, definitely visit all those parks, but spend 2 days in each park and take your time on that first visit and stay on Disney property. That way you don't have to waste your time. You can get up whenever you want in the morning. You get on your transportation, or you can walk to the parks. Mm-hmm. They let you in earlier. There's a little bit more perks to it. And they have great packages. So those packages are really nice. And, you know, I'm cutting myself in the throat, because, you know, that I make a living too by doing the packages, but off the beaten path of the bigger parks. But mm-hmm. a first visit, they should really take their time and not try to do so much. I see a lot of people just plan every minute.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure if they'll really enjoy it. And I have taken my children, you know, they're grown, all over the United States. Mm. And we've been we did some diehard road trips to see the United States over the years.
Yeah.
But, and I remember when they were teenagers, they were simply miserable. So if you have teenagers out there, don't bring them. You'll enjoy yourself better. And I bet you not everybody will agree, but a lot of people will agree. And, you know, you pay all this money to bring them along. Are they really having a good time? I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's like anything. You have to know if they enjoy it. I mean, our kids, the first time we went to Magic Kingdom just for a day, we got half-price tickets because we went to Westgate. You know, the apartments, they had the stand at the Florida Mall. And this time we thought, so just like, you know, the typical tourist, we went, oh, half price tickets, it must be quite decent. So we went along, and of course we got the tickets, and we went to the presentation, the timeshare presentation. But at the time, my children were so young, and they were really kind of struggling to keep quiet during the whole thing, that they gave up with us. And so after about an hour, they said, you can just go and take your tickets with you. So that was that. So we managed to bypass all the having to buy a timeshare, we got into Magic Kingdom for the day, which was quite good. Certainly, we did enjoy it, but we also went about. It was late February time. It was about the 25th of February when we arrived, so it was a bit cooler. And as you say, it was much quieter.
Yeah.
It was much better. And then we've been to Legoland out near Tampa. Is it Tampa or is it? It's kind of about an hour out of Orlando.
Yeah, it's in Winter Haven. Yeah. If you have little kids, that is like the coolest park if you have little kids because they're allowed to do everything.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Really, really good. That they love the little electric Lego cars. They love driving them. It's absolutely brilliant. And they get the little license at the end. So our kids had great fun doing that. But yeah, we went to Busch Gardens as well. They really like Busch Gardens.
You know, I'm seeing a resurgence in Busch Gardens. I saw back in the day, I'm talking 25, 30 years ago before Animal Kingdom opened.
Yeah.
That was the big thing to go to Busch Gardens from Orlando. And then it kind of just dwindled away. And now I'm seeing everybody, we're doing more transfers to Busch Gardens this year than we had in the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So we're seeing a big surge. And I'll tell you what, if you go to Busch Gardens after Halloween, like in between November to March, you can have the whole park to yourselves.
Really?
And do all those roller coasters. If you guys out there like roller coasters,
yeah,
that's a cool park for coasters. I mean, it's awesome. And there's animals there too. So if you like animals, they have a big zoo. I think eventually they're going to phase the animals out at Busch Gardens.
All right.
And so there's a lot of this. I know in the past, a lot of the staff, there's not as much of the zoo staff there anymore. So they'll probably end up phasing it out and make it just a big theme park. But that's a pretty cool park over there. So if you get a chance and you get a good package deal out there, go to Busch Gardens, spend the whole day, have a good time. It's a really neat park.
Yeah, we've been there about 3 times now, and I have to say we've always enjoyed it every time we've been. And we normally, because we got it like with a 3-part deal, you know, you go to Busch Gardens and then it was SeaWorld. And I think there was another one as well. I'm trying to remember the other. There was a water park, I think, as well that you got with it. I'm trying to remember the name of that. But in the end, we just went to the SeaWorld and Busch Gardens for the time that we had. And it was great fun. And I have to say, we got the kind of all-day dining deal, which was brilliant. And it was really quite good value for the whole family. But what do you think of places like Kennedy Space Center? Is that, do you find that? So, I mean, I really enjoyed it when I went there. Is that quite a popular tour?
Yeah, Kennedy is one of our most popular tours right now. We had a group go today. I think we have someone going there every day this week.
Wow.
Kennedy is becoming really popular. It's got a resurgence of action.
Yeah.
For a while there was nothing going on. So now there's rockets going up. I've taken people to go watch the rockets launch. I don't know how many times this year because the rockets are going up that much now. And it's good. If you guys come to Florida and you want to see a rocket launch, you could time it up. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but man, those rocket launches at nighttime are spectacular over there. And we take people, we don't go to Kennedy Space Center. We go over on the coast near Cape Canaveral. So we get as close as the launch pad as possible. So in some parts we're about 5 or 6 miles away. Mm-hmm. And to give you an idea, you are from Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex. You are about 6.5 to 7 miles away from the launch pad. So you can actually get closer if you go over by Cape Canaveral. And so we drive people over there. We usually, it's like a big tailgating party when you see these rockets go off. So it's pretty cool. And we say, hey, if you want to bring some beers, hang out. You can sit right there on the side of the road. And right on the water. You're right there on the water. And if it's a nice, quiet night, and you watch that rocket go up, just lights it up, shakes the earth, shakes the air.
Wow.
And, you know, and just sets that mood. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are taking a big interest in the rocket program. And I think over the next 5 years, you're going to start seeing those big rockets, the largest rockets ever made by man.
Wow.
Will be going up and starting to launch in December of 2019.
Wow.
So those are going to be giant rockets.
Yeah, that'll be a big crowd puller, that one, because to witness that will be amazing. I was there in 2008, and actually my friend who's a pilot, and said we should go at this point. It was in October time, because I think it was one of the last of the space shuttles was about to take off. And although it didn't go in the week that we were there, it was delayed, I think, due to high winds, I think it was. But we saw it on the actual launch pad. And I managed to get a few photographs of it sitting on the launch pad, you know, ready to go. But they were obviously waiting for the exact time. But it looks absolutely spectacular. We were kind of sorry that we missed it for the actual launch. But we've seen some of the videos that people have put on YouTube. And it's amazing when the thing goes up. It's just absolutely phenomenal. So I can imagine that would be a great excursion for somebody to get when they come to Florida. If somebody books a tour with you, do you kind of include tickets in that price, or how does it all work if somebody wants to use your services?
All right, so we have lots of options. I try to cater to families just like me that, you know, you plan your vacation, you don't have all the money in the world. And I know that people aren't driving, so we try to create a personal package, and then we create a shuttle package. So the personal package is, let's say there's a family of four of you, and you want to go to Kennedy Space Center, then you would pay the transfer to be competitive with all other aspects out there for any other place. And we also give you guidance all the way to the Kennedy Space Center. Or let's say you get in late, your plane's late, then you could come to the pub up to 2 a.m. to pick up your package. So it makes it really easy to partner with some of the restaurants that are open that late. And also they can get other information while they're there too. Yeah. So they get the lay of the land, sit down, maybe have a beer, and talk everything through. And a lot of those pubs are kind of spaced out with some of the hotels on iDrive.
Oh, that's good.
Because one of the big modes of transportation on International Drive is the trolley.
Oh, yes, the iBus thing. Yeah, the iTrolley,
Yeah, so we sell those, and we have a really good deal. People use it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. Well, what we'll need to do, do you have, in terms of your social media, what's the best way for people to find you so we can give you as much publicity as possible?
Are you hearing me now?
Oh, yep, I can just hear you now. Yep, it's come back. Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. So the best way to reach us on Facebook, for instance, would be at Oscursion. So it's OSCUR.
Okay. Excellent.
There you can message us. We have a team of people from England, Ireland, Scotland that help us. So during that time change period, if someone messages me here at 2 a.m., I may be sleeping. But someone over there may be awake at 7 a.m. over on your side. So we try to accommodate everyone as best we can. And we'll get to you quickly and help you book or answer any questions you may have. And we're pretty easy to work with, as you can ask around. We have 5-star rating because we like to help people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds great.
And that's our motto is we try to want us to be a home. And we're working with everybody from the UK, talking to people and learning about it. And I visited over there for the first time, had a great time. The hospitality was terrific and makes me want to go back again. So that's what we want to do. We actually will come back to Orlando again and have some fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they will. Well, it's been absolutely fantastic talking to you today, Flavio. And as I say, make sure you send me all your details in terms of for your social media. And I'll put that on the podcast links so all our listeners and viewers can see that and can hopefully get in touch and organise some tours, because it sounds like you've got the whole thing absolutely covered for the myriad.
We do everything. We go take people shooting guns. We go snorkeling. If you want to go see sharks, we'll take you to see sharks, manatees. If you want to go to Disney, we'll take you there, Universal, any of the beaches. If you want to know how to do the United States, ask me how to do that too. I help a lot of people plan their holidays around the U.S. as well. So I do all kinds of things.
Fantastic. Well, that's brilliant. Well, that's super. Well, I'll put that on the podcast and on the details there in the links. But what we'll do is I'll end the podcast there. But stay on the line, because once I've stopped the record button, I'll have a quick chat as well. But that's been super. To all our listeners and our viewers, you've been listening to the Orlando Holiday Guide podcast show with me, Hugh Hattrick, and my special guest, Flavio Morrissey.